did this way. Hold on a second. All slow. I don't know.
It's thicker than flour butter.
I think it's a little bit thicker. But anyway, it's irrelevant. Hold on, let's say what
it smells like. Seriously, it does.
Patient.
Looks like it.
Looks like it. Okay, we have a serious problem. He's making jokes.
Where's the Swiss hospital?
On the Mount of Congress, man. I think so. Now. Hold on a second. All slow. I don't know.
It's thicker than flour butter.
I think it's a little bit thicker. But anyway, it's irrelevant. Hold on a second.
It smells like mustard. Seriously, it does.
So does flour.
It does smell like
flour. It smells like flour.
I think mustard.
Patient.
Looks like it.
Okay, we have a serious problem. He's making jokes. On both sides.
Where's the Swiss hospital?
On the Mount of Congress, man. I think so. Now, listen very carefully, on both sides. The din is, if you eat matzah meal straight, the halacha is hamotzi, without a question. No question. If you eat matzah meal straight, the din is hamotzi. Even if there's no Torah left. So that's irrelevant. Even if it's before is solas, lamented of Torah lechem, it still you make hamotzi. That's why I told you yesterday with the bagel chips and scissors. Well, somewhat similar to this.
Not because it is Torah lechem. Even though it doesn't have Torah
left. In the case
of matzah. What? In the case of
matzah.
Bread meal or
matzah.
Matzah,
right. Even without Torah.
Even though it doesn't.
That's correct. Now, hold on. Doesn't it? Hold on. Now, chavitza, Rabbos, shh. Please, no. What is chavitza? It's pirure lechem nidvokim yachad in morok. You take some bread, you make some crumbs out of it, and you mix it together with some kind of a soup, which makes it hang together. And then you cook it. Then you understand your point is well taken. If it was a kazayis, even though there's no Torah lechem, you make hamotzi. If there's no kazayis, then what? Even if there is Torah lechem, it's borrow minim mezonos. If it's mevushal now, mevushal means cooked in water. But do we ever have a case where we take bread or matzah and actually cook it in water? Is such a case in your kitchen? Cook in water, I said. Yeah. Not fried. Cook.
Yes.
You have bread or matzah, put it in a cleavation of water on the fire, kimat doesn't happen.
Any
ingredients
you need soft matzah for, you boil the matzah.
Yeah. Soak it in water. You boil it in water on the
fire.
That's the lettuce boil. I just soak it in warm water. Okay, but most people don't know about it. So your kitchen every day, most people don't know about it. Rabosa, there's a critical question which we skipped over. What about frying, tigun, is frying the equivalent of mishal or not? The big machlokas are poskim. In my opinion, the answer is no. Frying is not the equivalent of cooking for this respect, and therefore, if you fry it like French toast, you make hamotzi, even though the one piece of white bread I use is very likely not a kazayis. It's close, but likely not a kazayis. Despite that fact, when they make camp, they make French toast with a piece of white bread. The broch in my mind is hamotzi anyway. Even though the piece maybe less than kazayis, why? Because it was not cooked. It was only what? Only had tigun and
You're not frying it.
I'm not trusting you.
Ready bread.
For anyway.
She like cooks bread.
You're mixing up, guys. I'm discussing a case where it once already was baked.
Yes.
It was baked outside the house. It was baked in the bakery.
Yeah.
The matzah yavkala. Not a
And then you fry it.
It was completely edible before.
Fry it.
Right. Exactly. So frying, you make a mochi and you bake it.
We're making fresh pizza.
Unrelated thing.
It's basically you buy frozen pizza, the pizza bread is cooked, it's baked bread, and they put
it in the oven.
Yes. And I put it in my oven and I turn it on.
Why put it in my oven? Can I eat it?
Yes.
Let me go on. Wait a minute. Then the Shulchan Aruch says. Then it says, if you don't cook it, faraz mechubah l'dvash al morok, then it depends. If it's a kazayis, then it's amotzi. Even if there's no toal lechem. If there's no kazayis, then it depends. If it's toal lechem, amotzi. If not, it's mezon. Those are the rules of chavitzah. That's the way you pass on the law. Big machlokes. That's what we pass from the halal.
So you have one of two conditions.
So you have to, if it's untouched, it's just crumbled into the tiniest pieces, it's always going to be hamotzi. If it was cooked, rabosai, it all depends upon what? Kazayas or no kazayas. Kazayas is hamotzi, no kazayas, no hamotzi. If the in-between case, where it's not in its pure form, just pulverized, nor is it cooked, but rather it was sort of mixed together with some other ingredients, it was either fried or doesn't taste, or just stumbled up together, whatever the case may be, then it depends. What? If there's a kazayas, you make hamotzi, and if it's toal lechem, you make hamotzi. Either one of those two is enough to make hamotzi. If it's neither kazayas nor toal lechem, then you would not make hamotzi. So that's why it's so critical to know whether tegan is kabishal. I would say that in matzah, in French toast, it wouldn't matter. I think French toast probably has toal lechem. It's hard to say. Toal lechem is hard to say because it's very subjective. It looks like bread. But the bigger problem would be matzah brat. Matzah brat. Depends how you make it.
Wait, is toal lechem?
No, I think matzah brat is fried. Even if it's fried, not cooked, even if it wouldn't have toal lechem. I know because I would still. Well, hold on. One second.
Wait,
I just said something wrong. If matzah brei would be hamotzi, only if it's toal lechem, right? What did I just say?
Yeah.
You would say it wouldn't be regardless.
But does the matzah brei have toal? No, I said before was wrong.
Right.
I said before was wrong. Sorry, I said wrong. Because I said before, it's like this. If it's this bashel, then it's one day. So what's that? So when someone's not considered this bashel, it's not this bashel, the mechuba b'dvash morok or eggs, that's right. Then if you have one of two conditions, it's hamotzi. What are the two conditions? Either if it's what? Kazayas or toal lechem. So we said fresh, but even if you say the piece would not be a kazayas, plus toal lechem. Matzah brei, is it toal lechem? I don't know. Could be, what's toal lechem? You can tell that it's matzah. Can you tell the matzah is matzah? If matzah is matzah? You can't tell. If you can tell, then it should be hamotzi also.
Wait, so if it's boiled, you have to have both conditions?
If it's boiled, it's only one condition that's critical. Kazayas. One piece of kazayas. That's it. That's the one and only condition. Hold on. So now, my problem is as follows. If the Shemir Shabbos is right, I'm not exactly sure why he requires Rov Shemen Advash. Even if it's not so much Shemen Advash, then it should be that it's considered it's not considered matzah anymore. Why? What happened? Hold on, slow. In other words, like this. If you took the matzah and you made it into matzah meal and you mixed it with other ingredients. So now, the minute you did that, there's no more toalach and the pashas. So now, therefore, the shem matzah which was chal the first time around is bottled. Now if you rebake it and a new it's chal again, that's called pasah of a kistin. That's siv zayin. That's what the Mishnah makes a reference to siv zayin. It's called pasah of a kistin. Oh, my only problem is that if that's the case, pasah of a kistin doesn't require to have such a tremendous ribuy of shemen advash, even if it's not all that much. As long as it's clearly now fit only for a snack and not for a meal, the pashas, as we said before, that it should be having in a pas kistin as well. So it should come out that halacha, when they were saying that all these matzah milk cakes should really be bari min and mezayin, should be butzavir of Pesach. And it's hard to imagine a case in our mind where there'd be so little of what the Rambam calls over here, yayin v'shemen, that should still have Torah lechem. So I'm just pointing out that the Sharatzin said it. You have to have Torah lechem. How do you have Torah lechem if you mix it in with yayin v'shemen, unless it was mixed very little of it? No, you have matzah meal. And they made it with just mostly matzah meal, just a little bit of yayin v'shemen.
Matzah meal, but you can't tell that it's matzah.
You can tell it's matzah. Matzah proper. That's what you're talking about. Okay. Matzah proper. So you can tell. So as long as it's not an overwhelming percentage of what do you call of shemen advash or other ingredients, you can still somehow tell that it's has toalecha. But the truth of the matter is, so hold on, manasha. No, let me phrase it. I'm not clear in my objection. Manasha, if it has toalechem, or both sides, let me explain to my objection. If it has toalechem, listen to me, what I'm trying to say. If it has toalechem, then it never lost its shem of pas. And then the bracha should always be hamotzi no matter what. But the Mishnah Berurah says over here, the Mishnah Berurah says that if you took small little pieces of bread or matzah, the case may be, and you mixed it with raw shum and advash, the din is, and you baked them, then you make a boy meaning mezonos, kidla'el siv zayin v'hago. That's the din of pasav of a kistin. So that's why that really ties against this line of Mishnah Berurah. Why should that be? If the first afia was not bottle, again, I'm sorry. I withdraw that. Apparently the first afia is bottle. This is what the Sher Shmir Shabbos quotes. He quotes that the Mishnah Berurah himself refers back to what he says in Siman Kuf Samaches Nun Tes. Ainu Nocha Lecha L'Besol Kasud. Here's the line. Let me read it to you. Impir Alecha Mashav Zir on the Sol. It's Kneidla. V'chakach Chaza Begit the Meshuv V'chaza. That's what he calls Kneidla. What's it in? What brought make a Kneidla? So Rav Poskim say, if you cook it in a pot, or if you fry it in a pan, then it then is Mizonos. I agree. Why? Because when you had the matzah meal mixed with all those other ingredients, it doesn't have toal lechem, and therefore one second. And therefore it's going to be mezonos. It lost its first, and there's no new Torah lechem now because A, it's cooked, and even if it's baked, but it's baked, it's not the same. It's it was baked as a kind of a kistin. If you baked it though, nafan shloyachon kibasav asud. Why? Because the second baking might create it to give it a new shem pas. Unless nilash brov shum and advash, where the second baking will also be considered a paskisa. I understand the Mishnah perfectly. Now both said there are two baking processes, the first baking and the second baking. He's talking about that the first baking is butl. The first baking is butl because there's no more shame Torah left him. So the second baking is not going to give it a shame positive, but it's mizonos. Fine. There's going to be something about the mizonos. The second baking is a question. Shem v'tov asud. That's what it says over here. Now that's what it says over here in Untes. Now he makes reference to it one second. I have to just follow the order. He makes reference to that over here in Tov Ayin Alpha yesterday to see in Mishnah Berurah. Siv Katan Chav. What does it say? Siv Katan Chav is as follows. It says like this. You have the matzah meal. You crumble it up. It has to alecha. Now the minute it has to alecha, Rabbi Osai, by definition, has nothing to do with what he said over here, Imperial Lechem. So, I'm just a little bit, Imperial Lechem, Shechazir, and the Solus. There's no Torah Lechem. Now here he's referring to a case in Sivkot and Chof. He says, it still has a Shem Matzah. You shouldn't be having it at night. It's not Kedai to be Yoti with it at night. Why? Because it's a shadow what the din is in Nechaz Brachas. I'm a Mishnah Berurah. The Ofiname Nechal Nechal Kim B'Sof Asuda. What's he talking about? This, here he's talking about, as he said in Shirt and Sharzi and Tezayin, was Yesh Batoala. But what he quotes himself in Kuf Samaches, that's by Ein Batoala. If I have the right quotation, this is a different quotation. I don't think so. The Shemir Shabbat said, he means this. So what's happening over here? Here he's talking about Yesh Batoala. He's referring to a case over here of Ein Batoala. What if it did? I don't know how to. I don't get the Mishnah Berurah's citation. That to me is a mystery. But the din should come out that in our case, which ain't but Tov Alecha, the din should be that it lost its first Tov Alecha from the first cooking, first baking. Now, when you rebake it, even with a small amount of shemen and other things, which it's enough to make it considered pas kisnim, which only hold that much, it should all still not be anything more than pas kisnim and a mizonos. And should be mutter on Erev Pesach, the Pashtus. So, I don't know. But the Mishnah Berurah, the whole Chumrah over here, has Yesh B'Tolat. Yesh B'Tolat, everything said before is irrelevant. So I'm missing a piece over here in this whole axis of Mishnah Berurah, Telfai and Aleph, Mishnah Berurah, Kuf Samaches, Shemir Shabbos, Terek Levav. There's one piece, I must have missed a piece. So maybe you'll help me out with that piece. I'm missing something over here. I don't quite get it. I want to have one more nakuda here, and then I'll just, not too much time, I have to go through, but just one more nakuda, because I think it's important, before I just give you a little intro to the Luma HaMakavis. We'll have to do it tomorrow. I fell behind. There are too many external... I got to tell you that the Maharil, who's the source for this thing, I looked it up. This source is Kutav Bayan Aleph. It's Maharil. It's a typo. It's Maharil. If you want to look it up, I looked it up in the Maharil. It's in page Testament Beis, in the regular standard edition of Nehugei Maharil. There it says, quote, the la'akar afia lonates ashira af b'mefureres v'nilosha ba'osher v'nefe. This case, it was after it was originally baked, can no longer become atashiri if you made it back to Makamel and you re-kneaded it with oil, etc., etc., and you bake it. He doesn't make any distinctions in how much you put in. Doesn't say a word. It's raya for matzah shruya, which is his don't. Of course, that's why it has to have toa lechem. The question if it's toa lechem, then if that was never lost its shem pas in the original afia, then even rov shem and advash, that then should be the yotzei d'chi of matzah, and it should be off the bearer of Pesach. That's the same problem I raised to you, just rephrasing it. One more to good about back of the Shemir Shabbos, which I want to talk about. And that's, he makes a lot I don't necessarily agree with. In this Ha'orah, Perek Nevav Ha'orah Nun, this is as follows. Look, if he's right, he made a new breakthrough over here at the Shemir Shabbos. If it's Dilish Barov, Shem and Advash, it's still going to be put in Erev Pesach L'Chol HaDeis. That's the case, he said, which I think is correct. Because it's no Toa Lecha. I don't understand. If it's no Toa Lecha, the Ramon ever said it would have said boo. the Maril's case, but there was Tohola. That's what Sharon T. and Tez Zion says. Oh, but then he had the word. He says, V'im ochel mimena k'dei k'viyus suda im boser v'dogim yitol yodov v'yivarech ha-motzi v'yivarech ha-motzi kuf samachet v'shni v'ruch ha-vdav ayin le'al kuf perek nundal ha-ra kuf la-mabed. We'll come back to that in a minute. Lefiza yiruchal l'kayim it's a suda shlishit in the tiyos ha-motzi v'yivarech ha-motzi v'chol ha-deis uktsas tzarechiyin lama ha-achrona v'yivin et zu v'yotzi le'chavosa l'chol ha-deis ha-gaval v'gavak. Have matzah milk cake. Have it with what? With what? Basar. With dogim. And you yod to the holidays. Now, notice. According to Rav Moshe, what? You can take away what? The basar with dogim. Right? Don't eat the basar with dogim. Well, wait a minute. No. Scratch that. According to the Shmur Shabbos' version of Rav Moshe, you would need the bus of a dogma because that is suitable for you to pass. Huh. Maybe. It goes again, go around in circles. But I have a different shayla. Because he himself, Shmur Shabbos himself, had a stark campaign against Rav Moshe and a different Nakuda in that previous footnote. What was it? Perek Kuf Lamed Beis. I think it's a very stark campaign. He quotes Rav Moshe. Oh. Here he's like this. He said, can be Kovei Asud on Passover of a kiss. Very nice. So he writes like this. Quotes a Mishnah Berurah, Kup Samachet. Yim Ochlo on Bosser V'dvorem Acherim Shem Laftabo as a pass. Sagi Kishe Ochlo Shira Shacherim Regil Tzvorem Eluk Shem Ochlo Gamma V'dvorem Acherim. You don't have to have the whole shear of whatever everyone ate for to fill himself up just consisting from the past kiss. No. It consists of a kazayas of that past kiss. And the rest of meat, fish, soup, the works. Fine. It's against the Aruch HaShulch. The Aruch HaShulch are against the Aruch HaShulch. Very nice. Heard from Shlomo Zalman. That's only true when the boss of a dog of Nechol of Yachalim HaMizonis. Who said that the Aruch HaKayim says the Befeirish? It's in parentheses. V'lok she'ochlem v'tchila ma'ak pas v'yeser ma'acholam ochlem achach v'nifro k'moshenog in certain places. The aim of the Kodesh Mishnah Berurah is there's no need of washing and benching. And, moreover, he thinks you have to make a special bracha on the bus of a doggy. There's no connection between, I have a piece of cake. All the time. I go to Kiddush, I have a piece of cake, and then I have fish. So you're going to tell me that I have to wash and bench, and no, don't make a shackle on the fish? Chatz v'shalom. There's no shackles for one or the other. Ubi'igwas Moshe Hanal, lo mash makein. He's right. Rav Moshe is a Kiddush pella, not a Kiddush pella. His Kiddush pella is not the Wittel Shabbos. Moshe's Kiddush is like this. If you have a kazayas of cake, and if it's during that same approximate time period, you also have fish, meat, soup, fruit, the works, it all counts towards the shear of Kviya Suda, and you have to wash and bench. What about Moshe? Another thing. Moshe goes even further than that. If you, that Shabbos, you go home for supper tonight, you go to the cafeteria, you buy supper. What do you have? You have chicken, and you have chicken soup, maybe you can filter fish, maybe some salad, and some vegetable salad. And then, you buy a big cookie to have there, you know, that big cookie. Quarter of ice, you have to wash and bench. Why? Maybe not at the beginning, but when you're about to eat that cookie, hey, that's not time a cookie now. It's a cookie which is part of a meal, which is a Suda's Book of Error. It must be $20. Literally. That's where Moshe writes in his Chumash. That's the one he quotes over here. Reb Shlomo Zalman and the Reb Chaim strongly disagree. So that's why I don't understand now a little bit the Shmerikai and the Shmer Shabbos Perek Nunvav. It's a new Eitzah. What's a new Eitzah? Have matzah milk cake. We call it a pesach matzah, okay? And how about the boss of a dogger? Rabbi Sai doesn't go. It's artificial. It's bluff. You don't have to taste pesach matzah, okay? It's something crumbly, but it's sweet. It's not what you have together with fish and meat. It's sweet. It's not you know. When we have bread or crackers, with fish and meat, it's supposed to be salty or neutral. You don't have, I've seen guys do it, but it's not normal to have, I think, marble cake, and I'll put marble cake with have a chopped liver on the marble cake. Marble cake, salami sandwich. I mean, Shiva got to do anything, but it's just normal. So, of course, that's what I'm saying. You know what you're saying over there, the new age, the holidays. Have marble cake, matzo-matzo-matzo-mil marble cake, sponge cake, chocolate cake. And have it with basar v'dag. What do you mean? The basar before or after? He himself said earlier, from there, I'm from Shlomo Zalman, the Mishnah Berurah, against Rav Moshe. So that the whole Eitzah falls apart by itself. Well, that's Rav Moshe, the other way. In other words, either one, either psak of Rav Moshe will take you to home plate. You can score up on either pshat. Either you say Rav Moshe Suda Mechayevs, right? According to what Rav Moshe had, the passion of Rav Moshe, even all three Sudas, but no one accepts that, we said before, we don't just don't do that in the Maisa. Or the other Rav Moshe, that if you have cake in the middle, cake at the beginning, cake at the end, and fish and meat 5-7 minutes before or after, that's considered to be a Suda Mechayevs. Either one of those pshat will yield you a washing, benching, a Moshe situation. But the Minig Olam was like neither Rav Moshe's Kedushin. They have not sugar valve gates anyway. Yes.
Not a Rav Shemin and Vash. There's no way out of this whole. No, forget this. The one apostle didn't say there's no way out. There's no way out. On both sides. I have to go. Tomorrow, I wanted to finish this Hashemot today, and I'm completely behind. The apostle will maintain that the Gaonim, Prichodesh, for example, that the Gaonim only exempt the Matkin if the Nifkin accepted a responsibility. And this is a very difficult thing to understand. Why should it be critical? Who cares? From the perspective of the Mafkin, who cares whether the Nifkin accepts responsibility or not? So the Stipe recorded a Harif is a very sharp idea for the Buruch Tam. Right? The Buruch Tam said the following interesting idea. He says, you know, the Rush said something. The Rush said, in counting the Gaonim, that what? That since Kevin Shishilo and Nifkin Basel, the Shmiris Mamono, Karina Be Basel. So we would think the Gaon would laugh at the Rosh. Why did you hack the Shachina Rosh? You're all wrong. It's completely out of the question. It's still, after all, the house of Reuven, and therefore it's to the house of Shimon, and therefore if Reuven puts the promise in the Shimon's house, it's not going to fit the Yehud Lotein. That's the simple shot. That's how the Rosh Poskim hold. But according to the Prichodesh, the Baruch Tam says it's not. In principle, the Gaon would agree with the Rosh. But the question then becomes, for whom is the area given over. In other words, put it to you this way. If there is no upright, there's no responsibility, then perhaps the Gaonim would agree with the Rosh that the area where the Chometz is found is designated from the protection of the Chometz, and that's for the good, if I may use that expression, for the good of the Matkin, of the owner. Why is it for his good? Because if the chametz gets lost, the shomer is going to be potter. There's no achrayus. So perhaps in that case, the Gaon would agree in principle with the Rosh. That's a very radical interpretation, but it fits in nicely with the Prichodesh's understanding, which you mentioned earlier. The only in the case where the Nifkut accepted achrayus, so then that area, that chametz is not being watched for the good of the Mafkin, of the Baal HaChometz. He's doing to save his own skin. The shomer is protecting the, putting that closet to save his own skin. He shouldn't have to pay. So therefore it's not considered to be for the good of the Mafkin, and therefore it's not considered to be calling shoal to the Balabayas, and that's why the din is different. Again, if you wanted to come back, I didn't want to say this earlier to you because you followed pedagogically how we had to go. We had to first give the Gaonim. We just mentioned that there are two versions of the Gaonim. Then we met the Benyona with his two versions of the writings, which is very important, we'll see soon why. And then we mentioned that the Rush says something. There are two versions of what the Rush meant, whether it's Kani or Batui. And then, once we know what the point of contention between the Rush and the Gaonim is, we can then perhaps suggest that maybe the Gaonim in principle agree with the Rush, but they just disagree in one kind of a case. because it's achrayas and no achrayas. It's an achrayas. It's not for his good. It's for his own good. Not for the owner's good. That's how the Baruch Tam suggests that in the Chodesh version of the Rosh, opposed to the Shagas Ayah of the Gaon, opposed to the Shagas Ayah version, which is exempted completely when it's not in their house. This is just a background, Rabbi Osai, into this very important dispute between the Rosh, the Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Gaon. If you have it straight, if you don't answer the question now. Yeah?
According to the Taz understanding of Rabbeinu Yonah, the case where the Mafkid is still Chayav is the case of Temesot Shmuel.
The Mafkid is still Chayav. What did the Rabbeinu Yonah says as follows, that the Gaonim, he's arguing with the Gaonim, right? He's saying, if I have my chametz and it's in your house, I certainly would be chayav, no doubt about it. I have a bateichem. No, it's a different case of bateichem. Well, I have, let's say, a goy's chametz. A goy's chametz given to me, and then I give it over to put in someone else's house. That's the lesser of the less serious case. The Dabar Gaon Lamamon is not the Mammon. It's a less serious case, so therefore we'll apply the Mi'ah to that particular situation. And you had to prove it's less serious by Dabar Gaon Lamamon, which is, someone brings the proof. That's how the Taz.
So therefore, the Mi'ah is
perfect. Shekibah Lavapra. Correct. According to the my chat, if I might, you keep using the word my chat. The Shagas Arias chat. Kovat Shurim is our chat. That's how I put the Pasha chat. That's the Rebbe. The Rebbe was simply saying a Pasha of Vorg. That Pesach doesn't mean your house. Pesach just means your possession. Then, at first, there's no indication that the Taz is right. But maybe even the obligation would apply in someone else's house, whether it's my chametz, or whether it's a goy's chametz which I accept the responsibility. There's no automatic indication that we have to be lead even in that situation. Which leads me, of course, on both sides to the very next Indian on Dan Vavam and Aleph. We'll have to come back to some Pratim and Afele in a few minutes. We have to first see Dan Vavam. Yeah. Dan Vavam is a hard dot. It's a hard dot. Let's take a look at her anyway. On the Vavam and Aleph, there's many, many things. We're going to just concentrate on one. The Gemara says, Yichel lo bayis, ein zokh levar. And the big machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, what's the story? Pirish HaKuntris, this Tosfos Yichel, the lo kibel lo bakrayis, el amalei harei ha-bayis lefonecho. There was no kabbalah sakrayis. And Tosfos, excuse me, as a kash against Rashi. We spent a lot of time defending Rashi. Rashi referred to a case that's a little bit nondescript. It's not clear what's happening. And the Hanach Lefonai puts it here. Is it considered a case where he was Mekabel or not Mekabel? That's Rashi Shita. But Rashi Shita, whatever it is pretty fairly straightforward in the sense of the whole sugya is referring to a case without Kabbalas Achrayas. There was no Kabbalas Achrayas. So then, it's Mutter. Actually, always Mutter. So that's the small, the fine print. It would have been an Achrayas now. It's not called Achrayas, but this corner, that detail. But more critical for us in our analysis is Tosa Sheet. Because from the times I feel a bit Achrayas, man. And therefore, the Rashi Lo Yimotze, Lo Choshev Motzi Biyotza, Kaven Sheyiched Lo Bayis. It's either derived from a svara or derived from a puzzle. What are the men of time saying over here? If a Yisrael took a goy's chametz and accepted achrayas and he put it in someone else's house, here referring specifically to the goy's house, but maybe even in another person's house, we'll come back to that soon, then he's not in violation of Bayroa Bayamat. Now, obviously, there's an immediate link up with what we discussed before from the Taz. What did the Taz say? The Taz said, that if, as the last line of Tosa says, Kibbutz of Achrayas Halchemtel Shel Nochri VeBeisel Shel Nochri is Potter. Huh? How do you know? So the Taz has a ready answer. You know it from Bateichem. Why should Bateichem be applied to this case of Kibbutz of Achrayas and not to the other case of Chometz Shelo? Well, so the Taz explained. The Fasta move below the Fasta, and since so the case of Kibbutz of Achrayas is a lower level, so therefore, since it's a lower level, will take the Bateichem and apply it to that kind of a situation. Push it. This is what the Hadataz says. I should add, Tosus Rid didn't know about the Taz. he said something somewhat different. That is really two psukim, it's botechem, which really means vishuschem. As I said, my part, like I keep saying, my part. Botechem means it's in my, it's mine, under my control. But the pasuk of gevulecha, we call it gevulecha. Gevulecha should be interpreted literally. The word gevul isn't used. General context of Beis HaShalom, Beis HaBeshuso. So therefore, says the Tosfos, we have two different drushes and two different cases. So, again, we'll follow logic. We'll say that if the covenant is mine, I'm a violation as long as it's considered Shaliyah B'Shusi, even though it's not under my roof. But if it's only a situation where it's not mine, I just accept the responsibility for it, don't be more strict. Don't apply the word Gevulecha. And we'll say, no, it has to actually be under my roof. That's, it's a different than the Taz, but the bottom line is similar. The tour of the Batechem, or Gevulecha, whatever you want to call it, is limited to chametz which is not mine, for which I accept the Echrayas, and does not apply to chametz which is mine. Yes? Backwards.
Anywhere, or
am I my house is in my backyard?
So Gevulecha means, is that broader, or that's
something narrow. That's what comes out, if I read it correctly. A little bit of a problem with the Drush of Psukim, how it works, like Matzah, but whatever, that's what the Torah says seems to indicate. Big question, it's a very major, major question. Well, what did Rashi say about all this? Right. That's question number one. And question number two, how do we pass it in all this? Right. So the Pashup shot is that Rashi disagrees with the whole story. So Rabbi Natan has this new story. That's Chek, Kibel of Achrayas al Chemso shal Nachri v'beis shal Nachri, the last line of Tosfos. That's Rabbi Natan's business. Presumably Rashi would have no part of it. That's Pashup Shah. Rashi would have no, wouldn't agree with this at all. That's what one might have said. And of course the question that becomes, do we pass like Rashi, do we pass like Tosfos? This is a very complex question. Very, very, not simple at all. Is there a Shulchan Aruch in this room? I don't see one. Oh, I'd like to see it inside. Thank you very much, I appreciate it. This issue is brought up in the Shulchan Aruch, and you will see soon, it's one of those that's not very clear. Unfortunately, it's not very clear. The Shulchan Aruch is in Siman Tov Mem Sif Aleph. Akum Shehivkit Chem Tzavetel Yisroel. Imuchayev Achor Yusuf, Mikneva V'Aveda, that's a detail, as we mentioned, alluded to it earlier. Bein Shul Beveso, Bein Shul B'chol Mokom B'Rishuso, Chayev Levara. It's already vague. What do you mean b'chol mokom b'rishuso? What does he mean? Anything under my control, or anything which is literally in my house, which means my backyard, my house, or my yard? Okay, unclear. Says the Rambam, va'filu chazar v'fkido v'yad akum acher, you still are chayef, based on the shulta gibor. If you take the Rambam literally, what he's trying to say is that since we reject Tosfos, we pass them like Rashi. The whole din of Yichud Levayis was never found anywhere, never quoted anywhere. It's Rabbi Natan's idea that if you accepted responsibility and you put it in a Bayis Miyuchad, that your path is not found in Shulchan Aruch. So they're out explicitly. So the Rambam seems to say, so the Rabbi Tosfos is wrong, Rashi is right, and there is no distinction between your chametz, Rabbi Osai, between your chametz and the chametz which you accepted responsibility for. In both cases, you're chayav no matter where the chametz is. Is it the Raisa or is it the Rabbanon? That's the machlokas, the Gaon and everybody else. The Gaon will say it's the Rabbanon, and then the other Rishon say it's the Raisa. But then, bottom line, you are obligated enough to get rid of it. That's a simple reading of the Rambam. And the Shulchan Aruch doesn't contradict it. On the contrary, the Shulchan Aruch never mentioned it, specifically the Ptur of Yichud Levayis. That's one reading. That's how I'll be honest, that's how I read it, originally. So I read it. However, there are those who read differently than myself. First, the Mogen Avraham. The Mogen Avraham says that no doubt about it, if it's Beis HaAkum, L'chule Al Mashar. Even though we don't follow Rabbi Natan, I'll read it to you. Afagad L'chavlik Rabbi Natan, and Tos Davav, because it's never mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. Hainu, Kshay Yisrael Yichilo Keren Zobis, Bevesa. That's too weak. Av Bevesa Akum, he actually put into the guy's home, L'chulei Al Mashar.
I wasn't convinced because the Rashi never says never agrees to agree to, but he says the chuli al mishar. I had a Shulchan Aruch. Well, look again at the Shulchan Aruch. He says bein shuva beis, so bein b'chomakum b'rishuso. B'rishuso can be understood to mean literally in his yard, in his house, or in his yard. But if he gives it to, even if he makes a closet within his house or in his yard, because this is miyuchat for the guy, he's still chayav. If he puts it in the guy's house, or some other Jew's house, well, Jews under pro-Jew probably wouldn't want to take it and pay some, but some guy's house, that guy, a different guy, out, then you could argue that the Shulchan Aruch that he really would be part of. One could be the Mechavah that way. It's very unclear. Either Ramah says, and doesn't say he's arguing with the Shulchan Aruch. So here the Magen Avraham makes a distinction between one guy and another. Depends. I read you the lesson of the Magen Avraham again. Yarakum Acher to the Magen Avraham. She'eino ba'olof. Shareyu kishalo. Bavleke mafkin chemtso bi'arakum. Ad kan l'shon shilte giborim. So then you're in violation. If you give it to a different guy, says the Magen Avraham, u'mashma di mifkido bi'ad ba'olof. Ain't over. You give it back to the original guy who owns it, and you're not in violation. That's how the Magen Avraham reads the Mechaber with the Ramah. That's the way he reads. Shilta Givron, the whole work. That's how he reads. The big problem. We understand very nicely. It can fit into the Lashon of the Mechaber. It can fit into the Ramah. It can fit into the Shilta Givorim. The problem is we don't understand why it should be so. And since we are commanded, the Torah Shabbat Peh, to use our heads, we don't understand why it should be so, so we have trouble accepting it. I mean, he said it, but we don't really fully grasp why it should be so. Well, as a matter of fact, the Chok Yaakov, one of the classical commentaries on Hilchos Pesach, in effect asks this question. He doesn't understand. He doesn't understand. Why should it be? What's the difference between one guy and another guy? The Sif Kot and Vav, very important, you should see it if a chance inside. What's the difference in one and the other? One second. Quotes the Magen Avraham. Mali also Akam Akam Achim. What's the difference? What's the difference? What's the difference in one guy and another? Says the as follows. It depends what came first. Depends which came first. He says, Hifkido. Let's first start the second idea of the Chok Yaakov. It's easier. He says, no difference in one guy or another. The Ramos is Dover Haragil. Mash Enken La'akam Risham. Mehechi Tesa Shiitna Batoras Pikodon. Imarzalo Mistama Marzalo the Gamri. In other words, Ramifkido Biad Akam Achev. It's first as Makabal Achrayas. And then I put it into the home of the God. Since my Kabbalah Achrayas came first, so you know we have a rule in Halacha. Once you do something, it's more difficult to undo it. Once it was already mine in effect in my house, so then it's hard to undo my din of Kabbalah Sachrais. Just putting it in another guy's house would not be sufficient. But, says the Chok Yaakov, if I'll... business people here. So So therefore what happened over here? In that case, from the very moment, the first second that I was in the Kabbalah Christ, it was in the guy's house.
So then that kind of case, then you put them. The Chok Yaakov is saying really is very much limiting the exemption. That the only time it's an exemption is if it's Chomet Shel Nochri Shekibel of Achrayim, but before the Kabbalah Tachrayim, or simultaneous Kabbalah Tachrayim, there already was a Yichid Lo Bayis. You follow me? That's what the Chok Yaakov understands. There's no fundamental distinction one going another, right? But you see something very interesting about that. It's much limiting the exemption. The only time it's an exemption is if it's Chomet Shel Nochri Shekibel of Achrayim, but before the Kabbalah Tachrayim, or simultaneous Kabbalah Tachrayim, there already was an Yichid Lo Bayis. You follow me? I said, Chok Yaakov understands. There's no fundamental distinction one going another, right? But you see something very interesting about that. He says that the reason the Ramah gave Chazer Mefkido Biyad Akum Acher is because of the original Akum. If I give it back to John, it means the Achrayim is over, in all likelihood. But then, of course, there's nothing to talk about. But if Enoch, if it wouldn't be over, I'd make a kind of funny, complicated deal, then it would be higher in that case as well. Rabbah said, but one thing you do see from Mogan Avram and Chok Yaakov, they both seem to agree, that if I actually give it, not the Yichud Lo Bayis, but put it this way, the Mogan Avram at least claims, if I give it to a goy, and put it in the goy's house, at the last line of Tosfos, which talks about Chomesh of goy, Bebeis HaGoy, is an intrinsic tour, which applies to a different God. And a different God is fundamentally different than the original God. That's what the Mogan Avraham says. Chagam, they don't understand Pshat. And therefore, there's really no tour. The only tour is if the Yichud Bayit, or the place itself where it was put in the God's house before, at the same time, that the Jew accepted Achrayim. So it was never in the... It was never at the point where it was in the Jews' achrayas in the Jews' house. Once you reach that point, you can't eliminate the obligation to ruin the fire by Mose by just putting it here, there, and anywhere. That's what the Chok Yaakov said. Now, so you see, let's review. But in Machlokas, Rashi told us Pshat and Gemara. According to Rashi, the Gemara referred to a case, Yichud Lo Bayis, but it was no Kabbalah Achrayas. Kabbalah Achrayas is no Ptur. According to Tosfos, there is a Ptur of Yichud Bayis even when there is Kabbalah Tachrayim. Now, according to Rashi, what would it then be if there, it was not just a question of Yichud Lo Bayis, but if Mamash put it into a guy's house, Mamash, would there be a Ptur? So the Gemara Avraham seems to say yes, he's Lashon L'chulei Al Mashari. It's put it by Yichud Lo Bayis. If he gave it to the guy's house, Mamash, it would be Potter. And of course, fits in what we spoke earlier, the Taz, Tosfos Rish, whatever, okay. The Chok Yaakov seems to deny that. But the fact that it's in a goy's house, not to this goy, another goy, what's the difference? There still might be no p'tur automatically. There might not be any automatic p'tur. The only time it would be p'tur, says the Chok Yaakov, is if in a case of kibel achrayis, b'chemetz, chomet shalakam, b'beis haakam, shalom kibel rishusa me'ola. That's shari l'chulei alma. That's what all I told us maybe meant in the last one, l'chulei alma shari. I said, if I never had it, it never was in my possession, never was in my home, so then this p'tur is accepted by everybody. But once it was in my home, then there's no p'tur whatsoever, no difference between one going and another. That's what Chok Yaakov understands. Now all of this, it was discussed with the port, of course, in its own right, might have been purely theoretical. Oh, who ever heard of a case where Jews in the Kabbalah riot, and the Chomets of the Goy, why are you kidding? Who ever heard of it? Oh. Until comes along, a 1-2 punch knockout. First punch is the Rambam. We saw it quoted in the Rosh. The Rambam quoted in the Rosh says that if a Jew is de facto achroy for the chometz of a guy, because the guy is a gavra alma, of a tough guy, then this is also considered to be in the category of achroy. So you never officially accepted achroy? No matter. That's just the Rambam's fact. The fact that it is in fact. You will laugh. It's in fact, bottom line, if you don't return the comments, they'll beat your brains until you give them $100, which he needs to give by the comments back. you better believe you're going to have to pay $100. Right? That's the Rambam. The basic Gemara, Bnei Chela, the army. That's the army. They're tough guys, the army guys. They have guns. You don't pay for the cake and cookies that we gave you that you lost, we'll shoot you. So of course you have to give the money. The Rambam said that's considered sufficient Kabbalah Sachrayat Mechayiv Yavar Obayi Masri. That's number one. Number two is a famous extension of the Makor Chaim. The Makor Chaim says, or both sides, please listen very carefully. The Makor Chaim says that what happens if I sell my chametz to a guy? And the way it works is as follows. The chametz is worth $1,000. So it gives me one penny. So the rest is an outstanding loan, the non-payment of which in no way affects the sale. He owes me $999.99. He doesn't pay me, so I have a right to go after him. Give me the money. Says the Makor Chaim, you know and I know, says the Makor Chaim, that if the chametz will burn down, and the guy's going to refuse to pay, of course he'll be wrong. He has no right to refuse to pay, but that's a fact, to refuse to pay. Therefore, says the Makor Chaim, once again, we have a quote de facto situation of achrayus that the Jew is ultimately responsible for this chametz. If it burns down, the Jew will lose the nearly $1,000. So therefore, says the Makor Chaim, it should be treated halachically as the chametz of a goy for which a Jew is responsible. If that's the case, says the Makor Chaim, we know the din. We know the din. The din is, he thinks he knows the din. He follows him on that road. We know the din. The din is what? The din is in a goy's house. So it's okay. If it's only miyucha to a goy, and he claims the same means if it's only rented to a guy, he equates rental with miyuchah, which the Beis Yosef seems to agree with at the end. So then it's no good. Therefore he says, if you sell your chametz to a guy, you must sell the premises to the guy. It's not enough to rent the premises to the guy. That's a famous, famous chumra of the Makor Chaim. So Rabosai, I want to tell you that shtei tshuvas b'dov. Yeah. But if I sell the property to the goy, and according to the Mogan Avraham, it's good. Kula al-Mashari. It's mamash b'beis l'shal goy. He neglected the fact that according to the Chok Yaakov, will do you no good. Why do you no good? Because it doesn't matter. As long as it was once in your possession, in your house, too late to sell the house to the goy. We even discussed, we'll come back to it in a second. So, yes, Elio.
You have
No, if you look carefully, any Shtar Mechira Chometz, it'll say that the Jew has no achrayus in the Chometz. We don't want to accept achrayus in the Chometz. We say the Goy is achrayus in the Chometz. We'll get to it, we'll learn Mechira Chometz, we'll come to it, I'll show it to you, I'll bring you my document. But who cares what you say in the document? You know he's not going to pay you. So stay true with the Dover. Number one, in my opinion, the Makor Chaim's position is very questionable. I explained to you the following language. It took me a while to formulate it. I said it once, I said it a second time, a little differently. In the case of the B'nai Chela, Rabotai, what happened? They're quartering soldiers in my house. It's pre-revolutionary war. And King George III? I'm sure I got my history right. King George III is quartering the American troops in the Jewish homes there in Newport, Rhode Island, wherever they used to live then. And he's telling them, listen, you have to give the troops cookies, get bread, and comes Pesach, and I'm told you're responsible. Now, wait a minute. There, what's happening is that King George is holding you responsible if you lose the bread. The bread gets burned or somehow. Now, you could scream, no taxation or representation, no quartering of soldiers, all men are created equal, whatever you want to say. But right now, as long as the British troops have the upper hand, so you're sort of stuck with the situation. You have the de facto achrayus. Well, make a revolution, okay? But they did. I mean, that's why. King Pesach. But they made a revolution. But at least it's couched from both sides in terms of achrayus. We all do responsible if it burns. Something to say. That's how it's couched. Even though you say, I don't want to be responsible. It's too bad. You're loyal citizen of the British Empire, on which the sun never sets. So therefore, you have to bear the burdens of the king's fleets and armies, and you know, blah, 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 blah. God, so much. Oh, fine. But in the case of Mechiras Chametz, I sell chametz to John. And John says, hey, you burned down, I'm not paying you. We'll say, oh, that means that John is holding me responsible for the fact that the chametz burned down. Oh, I should have watched better, etc., etc. So I explain to you that's not the case. John may say, yes, it's true that I have responsibilities, it says on the document, I'm not denying it. I just refuse to pay you. I refuse to pay you. I'm not responsible. Because I refuse to pay you. Unfortunately, how many people do we know of all different kinds of backgrounds who they just don't pay? Or someone, what's the expression? Stiff him with the bill? Is that the Russian language they use these days? All right, is that the right word they use? Stiff him? No, that's what they say? Talk to me on Shabbos, a guy, unbelievable story, a guy he's recommended to a certain dentist, some of that, and I think he used the word stiff him. I think, is that a colloquial phrase? Oh, okay, what about the tip of this? It's optional. He went to a dentist, the dentist was doing a great job, and he's quote stiffed him. He didn't pay. What do you mean, the whole dentist was responsible? No, he did a great job, he's not going to pay, do me something. Sue me. Yeah, this is kind of dumb, I think, and if there's no court system, so you can't sue me, so I'm going to get away with it. Yeah, but you know how it is. Lawyer's fees are what's not worth it for you. That's how it is in today's world. Yeah, okay. But you're just stiffing him. Now, I try to bring a proof, a demonstration, that it was just a stiffing job, and it wasn't that he was holding really responsible. And the indication that I tried to bring last time was, let's say the price goes down. Goes down with the Erev Pesach and the Motzei Pesach, right? So the price goes down, it should really be the loss of the goy, right? Because it went down while it belonged to him. So let's say after Pesach is over, they want to renegotiate, and the Jew says to the goy, you want to sell the chametz back to me because you don't want to be bothered, fine. But we're only going to take, you want to sell it back to me, it's going to be at a lower price. You're going to end up owing me $100. The guy says, hey, I'm selling it back to you, here it is. I take back your document, and no $100. Boom. So, I'm responsible if the price went down? No, I'm just stiffing you, that's all. That's what probably would be done in that case too, as an indication. That they hold him responsible. He says, it's not going to pay. The difference is that that's not considered acharias. That's what I wanted to say, the distinction of the Kohen's premise is incorrect. Aleph. Beis, Rabosai, if he's correct, oy va'avoy, because the Mechabal and Avram is not necessarily right. I happen to prefer the Chok Yaakov's approach. I think it's much more logical. But then again, as I realized afterwards, and this is a coming attraction, we spoke last time about turning around the order of the sale. Remember that? What we should do is, we do two things. What do we do in our sale? Chometz. We first sell the chometz. And then we rent out the property. We suggested as a new emendation to the document this year to first rent the property and then effect the sale. So, take it on my faith, put it on your computer. When we get to the sugya, Mr. Shimon, in a couple of weeks, we'll discuss that the way we do it may in fact be in sufficient according to the opinion of the Chok Yaakov. So just for the moment, just to take it on faith. I'll explain the details later. A, in the Mekor Chaim, I think it's probably, I don't agree with this whole assumption of Achrayim. B, if Achrayas is right, I don't accept the distinction between selling and schirut, because I like the Chok Yaakov. And C, with the Chok Yaakov, maybe we're okay anyway, for reasons which we'll discuss later, because we have other kinyanim which come at the same time as the schirut and the kinyan. And some the chotzer comes even after the kinyan. Agam and chotzer, just keep those two keywords, agam and chotzer, in mind, and we'll explain this when we get to it. Rabosai, I hope I made myself clear so far. We've spoken a lot of important concepts, and you have to understand it very well. All right? Remember that. The review. Okay, Abbas. Now that we've done this, we can now turn the page. From the pay and above, which we've discussed until now, the rest of the Shia will discuss above and above. Okay? Rabbi Medbei, Rabbosai, we're really going to discuss a few little things. On the bottom, Bodhat Sarab Shiyavatel, the Gemara says, Zer Shem Yimtzak Luska Yofa V'dati Laveh, Frank the Gemara,
the chimash kachas al levaza. Do it then. Why have to do a bittle now? Gemara says, "Ma mashkachas le levaser isur v'lav reshusa kaimer." V'lamotim evatel. Then Rabbi Loza shnei dvarim and reshusa shel adam v'asana kotas yil reshusa v'lehei bar reshusa rabin v'chavetz v'shei shos u'lamal. I want to discuss these two lines of the Gemara. Let's take a step back and try to figure out what this means. So first of all, Rabbi Osai, seems to be a dispute. What do the words mean, Enem Rishusa Shalodah? Rashi says right away, Lab Enem Rishusa, Lab Rishusa, Eno Shalodah. Not his. Not his. Elsewhere, as we already made reference today, the expression Enem Rishusa doesn't mean it's not his, it's not under his control. Right? For example, if you steal from me, so I can't be Makas, you can't be Makas, you can't get not Shalodah, and I can't get not Rishusa. So one might have said, and perhaps the proper way is to take it literally, and don't take it on faith for me. This is suggested by the Ketzos, no less than the Torah than the Ketzos. Ketzos HaKoshen says, he has the Pshat, and he thinks which Pshat is correct will depend upon a global dispute, a dispute which transcends the laws of the second Sofin, a general issue. He's Suri Hadah, are they Shalom or not Shalom? That many poskim seem to say we showed it that Isuri Hanoah are not shalom, but he quotes a Rashbo, it's really a Ritva in Sukkah, the Flamed Hay, who seems to say explicitly that Isuri Hanoah are shalom. So Isuri Hanoah shalom asks the Ketzos, what will the Ritva do with our Gemara? Our Gemara says it's Eino Meshuso, which means in Hebrew you cannot be mevatelit. He says very pashut. He takes the Gemara literally. Ein of Rishusa means Ein of Rishusa. I mean, it's yours, it's really not yours, but they're not under your control. You don't control it, it's not about, no, you can't do anything with it. But it really is Shalom. This is the opinion of the Ketzos. So again, Rabbi Osai, we have two understandings of the words of the Gemara. Ein of Rishusa, does it mean Ein of Shalom? Seems to be the Rashi learns, that's how most seem to learn. And then the way the Ketzos learns, that Ein of Rishusa means Ein of Rishusa. Not under your control, even though it really is yours. That's how the Ketzos understands it. However, having said this, and although the Ketzos Pshat truly is a viable Pshat Kishal Atzma, the Ketzos does not need my Hashkama. The Ketzos is one of the Gedolei Hador, does need my editorial comments. That, oh, the Ketzos is good. The Ketzos is a Pshat. But however, in my opinion, it may not be Pshat under his vote. Supposed to take a shot of the Ritva. And that is for the problem that we thought out of that seems to say quite clearly that Chomet is in a Shalom. This led me to a question. There's a Stira in Ritva. There, Sukkot the Ritva says that Chomet is a Yisur and our Shalom. And here, on our that, the Ritva says that Chomet is a not Shalom. Bothered me. I came up with an answer that I think is very fundamental. Whether you can shot in the Ritzvah or not in the Ritzvah, I think it is, but you can always quibble. I think it's fundamental in its own right, and that is, that the Chomet of Pesach really is unique and distinct, actually almost unique, as opposed to all other Yisur and Or, except for one. Only one other which resembles Chomet of Pesach. What is that? Avodah Zarah. Why are Avodah Zarah and Chomet different than other Yisur and Or? This is quite clear. Other Yisuri Hanoah, as called Orolah, Flyer, Karabah, Chalot, you may not have any Hanoah from them. However, it doesn't say in the Torah HaKadosha that you must eliminate them. You can put them somewhere in the basement and let them languish there and stay there until Mashiach comes. Right? No problem. No problem. Avodah Zarah is mitzvah l'shari shachrer. You're supposed to try to eliminate Avodah Zarah. Get rid of it. Abe Tiabdo, completely, utterly destroy it. Chomet to Pesach, similarly. If it's a Balyura, Balyamate, you must try to get rid of all the Chomet Hashbis, get rid of it. So therefore, it occurred to me, Chandra Ritzvah is as follows. We should make a distinction between other Yisrael Hanoah, which are Shalom, as opposed to Chomet to Pesach, and Avodah Zarah, which is not Shalom. Now, I found in the Ritva there in Sukkim and there in the footnotes that
a similar distinction is drawn in a somewhat different context. I'll just mention briefly, only as a precedent for what I'm saying. There exists an expression called chitusei michta shiure, which you may have learned from the rule of Gaul, maybe it's summertime or something. I mean, that you have a rule of this big, well, guess what? That's how big it is. It's like power. It's not, you look for it, but it really is power. It's an optical illusion. The shiur was crumbled into the smallest little possible pieces. It has lost its shiur. So it's a question, does it apply, does it not apply, when does it apply? Well, the distinction there is broad, a possible distinction, between Avodah Zarah on one hand, and other Yisroel on the other. And Avodah Zarah, again, we do also come to the Pesach, which is, there's a mitzvah of Avodah, you must get rid of it. So, if you must get rid of it, it's considered already gotten rid of, pulverized, and there was no shear. As opposed to other Yisroel, although it's not to do with it, you might as well get rid of it, but you're not obligated to get rid of it. So then perhaps the union of Chitus and Michel Shiri would not apply, perhaps. Indeed, we mentioned that this might be a key distinction, even going back to that base of an hour. But the question which Tosfos raised is why is there a theme of Bedikas Chametz, Bedikas Chametz, as opposed to Bedikas Bosa Bechalov. So again, the suggestion, I think, according to Rav Schechter, in his Indian of Kol, the ticket Rabban came to write the ticket. He says, Bedikas Chametz is patterned after his partner. There's two partners. Avodah Zarah to get rid of, and Chametz. So Avodah Zarah starts to favorish, go and look and find, search and destroy mission. When it comes to Chametz, the Torah says so. You shouldn't have any Chametz. You shouldn't have. You have to go search and destroy. Head up. If I see it, I'll get rid of it. You just have to go take a candle and look. It's hard to say so. What happened? Whatever it is. But Chazal said that the Chametz and the Zara are twins. In the sense that they have this common idea, you must get rid of it. Therefore, it's appropriate that we pattern after the search and destroy obligation of Avodah Zarah a similar idea with respect to Chometz of Pesach as well. Here's some of the technical issues which Tosfos raised back on Daf Beis of an Aleph. Okay, Rabbi Osai. So here we see that's what we've discussed so far, two interpretations of Eder B'Shusso, either Medina Shalom or Medina B'Shusso Mamash, like the Ketzol said. But the Ketzol said it was basing himself on a Ritva. And I thought that that's really not correct. I mean, it's an independently correct shot, but not in the Ritva, because the Ritva itself is said differently. So how can I resolve the contradiction? I make a fundamental distinction between Chometz and Avodah Zarah on one hand, and other Yisroel on the other hand, and that same distinction, which would explain why one is Shalom, one is Ein Shalom, would also explain the Inyan of Chitus Mechtas Shiur. That's where I got it from. One of those footnotes, can't even respond to something. So I got the idea, entered my mind, and then subsequently I found that Rav Schechter explained that's perhaps why this Bedikas Chometz, like based on Bedikas Avodah Zarah Torah, ordained as opposed to other Yisroel Hanah, which tells us there's no Tzitzit of Bedik. Fine. Rabosa. So now that we've discussed at some length the idea of the first half of the sentence of Shnei, Dvarim, Einan, B'Shusha, Shal Adam, I want to begin now a discussion of the second part of the sentence. And that is, Vaso Nakosu Ki'ilu B'Shusha. Okay, what does that mean? Vaso Nakosu Ki'ilu B'Shusha. So what I thought all along, until I told you differently, I think just yesterday, but I thought all along was that, look, it's Eina B'Shus Shalom, again according to the most simple interpretation, that it means Eina Shalom, that seems to be the consensus view, opposed to the Ketzol seems to be a Das Yachid, especially since it's based upon the Ritva, and the Ritva I thought would even concede over here, the Ketzol is Das Ketzol, okay? Which is certainly significant, but still thought it was a minority view. But the traditional classical view I thought was the Eino B'Shusha means like Rashi says. The Hail of the Rebbe Rashi. The Eino B'Shusha means Eino Shalom. Eino Shalom is an effective equivalent of Hefker. That's what I thought, it's like Hefker. I have a Hefker, so it's a contradiction in terms. The Torah says what? The Torah says, Shel Kol Yatzaroa, these don't belong to you. So how can you be in violation if no one's considered Hefker? Oh! That's the Torah, that's the Gemara says. Vaso nakosu. Vaso nakosu, nu. Ki'ilu b'shusa. That's exactly the point. That's exactly what the Gemara is telling us. That even though it's really hefker, you're in violation anyway. That's what I always thought to be the simple truth. Until I discovered it's not so posh. Not everybody agrees. Not everyone agrees. I thought it's posh. But not everybody agrees. It's a subject of some controversy. Of some controversy. What does that mean? It means that the Makor Chaim has a completely different approach. Completely different. Completely different. Totally different. Makor Chaim suggests that it's not considered to be regular hefker. No. He takes the words Asan Akasa Kila Bashusa to mean that we don't view it as complete hefker. On the contrary, we consider this comment to be considered somehow belonging to the original owner of the chametz. The Torah says, yes, you suri out for carrot is saying it. It's almost the opposite of what we said earlier. We said before, it's Adi Surah, no Ashalo, and chametz and Avodah Zarah is not Shalo. We made that suggestion. The Kochayim in effect is the opposite. Assuming I know what the other possible against the Ritva are not Shalom. But Chometz and Pesach, since that's so, I have Basa B'chol. I have Orla, who grew in the first 3 years. So it's lying in my basement. Does the Torah have a reason to make it mine?
No.
So it's mine, not mine. She followed the exploration, the Brave Poyari. And they sure I know it's not Shalom. There's it's like Hefka, no one owns it. There's no need for it to be considered to be mine. So it's talking not mine. However, since the Makor Chaim is telling us the opposite we just said before, precisely because there exists an obligation to eliminate chametz, and more precisely, there is a violation of owning chametz, so therefore the Torah had to make the chametz yours, somewhat yours, in order that there should be a violation of Vayiro by Yemotze. So Asor Nakos of Kila B'Shuso doesn't mean and the chametz is completely hefker, as we thought until Na'ina Shalom. And it's just Ki'ilu B'Shuso that's exclusively to call me a bad guy. But in violation of Ayrov Ayamotze, for that purpose and that purpose only, will say it's considered as if it's mine, but it's really not mine at all. Because I didn't learn that way. This is something which I never fully realized. That he views it to mean that really the Torah is saying it really is yours. Not yours completely. Not yours completely. It can't be mevatel let the Gemara to be perish. It can't be mevatel let the Gemara to be perish. We just learned the Gemara, right? The mashkach the bus of Yisur v'la b'shus v'kayim v'la matzah mevatel, right? Because ain't a b'shus, but true is not completely yours. But it's maybe the equivalent of ain't a b'shus, like the Kfel said, something of this nature, something in between. But it is, you have some measure of ownership. It's not completely heaven. That's a chiddush of the Makor Chaim, which I never knew about. When I learned the sugya the first time, I never thought about it. And therefore we presented it like the Pasha was hefker. Oh. But this Makor Chaim, as it turns out, is something which he says in a few different places, and a few different statements he makes, which all tie into this, and although we'll call it a minority view, but it's worth knowing about it because it accents what the majority view is. Often, a minority view is important because it makes you focus on what the majority, you know, if you think that the majority view is the only view, you don't focus on it so much. Often it's the minority view which puts the majority view into sharper focus. Here's a perfect case in point. I never thought twice. Hefker, Zaini B'Shusa, and by the way, anyway, I never thought anyone argued about it. I'm sorry, I'll see soon. I'll be Dr. Venus too. So the Makor Chaim, Rabosai, makes his statement, again, and this is in opposition to the opinion of what I consider to be the certain majority. But there, I think there are no less than three Nafkaminas. What's an Nafkamina? Who cares? I think there are three Nafkaminas, Rabosai. Not one, not two, but three. One is, what happens to the simplest one? The person that's Chometz on Pesach. He owns Chometz on Pesach. Lightning strikes him down, and he dies. All right. Now he has sons. Sons come to the rabbi. Rabbi, Hashem HaTzadik. Right? Obviously God struck him down with a bolt of lightning because he owns Chometz. I'm coming to do tshuva. I didn't have to tell my father in his lifetime he should get rid of it. Now I see, what do I do? I would say, you want to tshuva, go to shul, okay? Go, and nothing to do about the chametz. That chametz is passed, nothing to do with you. And it's not your problem. Go to tshuva some other way. That's what everyone says. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. That's everyone. I mean, what I consider to be the classical, the mainstream view. Kam zimakor chayim, and says, no. The yosha to go out now quickly, before the levaya, to run to their father's house, and throw that chametz out. Because they have some measure of ownership in the chametz. It ain't over shusha shalodah. No. But it's still considered somewhat theirs. I mean, if I may use the tzos as the model for the deceivers, for the Makor Chaim, the two gadol of a wolf and were loggerheads. But here maybe, the Makor Chaim does not phrase it that way. I'm adding a lot of words to his mouth. He never phrased it. We'll just use it for convenience sake. Let's say shalom ain't over shusha. For example, Reuben has some fancy possession, candlesticks, and someone steals it, and then Reuben dies while it's stolen. Would we say that now that the Reuben's kids don't yashin, and Reuben's kids do yashin? They may have problems retrieving it, the police department, whatever, but it belongs to the Reuben's kids, even though it was Ein Rishutim at the time. So to the Chometz, right? It was has some measure of ownership, it was the equivalent effect of Ein Rishutim, maybe Mamash Ein Rishutim, I don't know what the problem meant exactly, and therefore the yashin have a problem, they have to get rid of it immediately. Yes, ma'am?
And he
says, oh, very good. Baruch Shekimati, that he may actually be saying the same as his good friend, the Baal Tosa Choshen. That's the Shalom, that's not me, maybe exactly what he said. Yes? It means it's really complete action. But it only means that you're considered over in Bayro anyway, as if it's considered, as if it's Shalom. As if it's shalom, it says loy well lachah chametz. One of the chas, hefker. Yeah, but it's considered lachah for this purpose. Yes. It is follows. Usually, Yisuri Hano. See, the soul said this. If we're going to equate it, they're coming from opposite directions. The soul comes to this by saying that the way they say this kind of enemy shusa is that Yisuri Hano, but there are cloud are ena are shalom enemy shusa. The Makor Chaim goes the other direction. The Surah and the Shalom. But Chavetz Grad is more Chavetz. Because since the Torah says, Red Lo Yerol Lecha, how to make it yours? Backwards to what I said before in the Rishvah. I said the Rishvah, I thought, said that all the Surah and are Shalom except for Chavetz of Pesach and Avodah Zarah. And the Makor Chaim is saying, all the Surah are not Shalom except for Chavetz of the Torah. How to make Shalom to stick you with my Yerol? Lo Yerol Lecha. I said it's in the way of Meshusa, it means Eina Meshusa. Like the man quoted, thank you very much. He probably looked at the cells, Eina Meshusa. Yeah. Shnei Varm Eino Shalo Shalodam. Eina Mesh means, because really, it should be Eina Shalo. Why? Because, why? It's a no. But I saw that clause of Kigilu Meshusa, which means they made it Shalom Eina Meshusa in effect. Alright? Why they make it that way? Because to stick you with Bayerol Bayerolse. Leirol Lecha, how to make it Lecha. Not like the other Rishon with Hedon Yudah. It's not really Lecha. It's as if it's Shalcha for purpose of giving him a Veir of Bayerol. It's not really Lecha. Kochan does not have shot. It means it's on a cause of Vishutha and Pazit gave it to you somewhat. Oh, the one after the yard, the guy gone. Right, Menachem? Simple after me. Yeah. Huh?
That's
what he says. This is brisk, it's not up to brisk yet. We're just going to talk about the Pasha. Now, Nafimina number two, Rabbi Osai. A person forgot to sell the chametz, let's say, and the time passed, and he wants it, he's just desperate to get rid of the chametz. So one way, of course, is to burn it. Another way is, he wants to give it to a guy, but of course he can't sell it to a guy anymore. It's after the sixth hour, he can't sell it to a guy. So sell it to a guy anyway. Either sale is invalid, it's not yours. Well, but bottom line, as we said before, it's a fact though, the guy picked up the chametz and took it home. And now, would we say, after Pesach is over, that's awesome, because after all, there was the chametz remained his, and the guy couldn't acquire it? Or should we say, no, the guy can acquire it.
Where did
the guy come in? I sell it to a guy, comes to my house and takes it home.
Is it a
no, 3 hours after the sale, it's at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Erev Pesach.
Oh, okay.
He gives it to the guy, makes a sale, and the guy takes it, carries it under his arm, and takes it home. Ma'adin after Pesach. Comes to know the Yehuda and the Prima, God, and the Mishnah Brura, and say, the Chometz is Mutter.
maybe you're a bum, because at Isser Hanoi, you shouldn't have sold it in the first place, because you had enough from the Chametz by Sanei after Chatzos. Maybe you hold like Rav Shimon, at Mutav Hanoi after Chatzos, said the Machlokas the Rishonim, you rely on the Das Yochid, not the Yochid, a lot of people, Rav Raivin, Rav Amor, Bishat Atchak. I don't like your original Chametz, but you can use it after Pesach. Kavz and Mekor Chaim, you're crazy. You can't use the Chametz after Pesach. This Chametz belongs to the entire Pesach of the Jew. And as such, it's part of the Easter, the Rabbanan of what? Chametz, no? Shalom Pesach. Kavz, no, he says, what are you talking about? It didn't belong to the Jew on Pesach, it belonged to the guy. The guy took it up. He says, Kavz and Mekor Chaim, you can't sell it to the guy. So Pesach says, of course I can't sell it to the guy. But the guy was Ochem and a Hefker. Kavz and Mekor Chaim, Hefker? Did I hear the word Hefker? Didn't you look at the Mekor Chaim? Don't you know it's not Hefker? It's a son of Kosov Kila Beshuso. It belongs to the Jew, for real. And then it's not Hefker. I can't sell it, but it's not Hefker. So I'm stuck with it. And I was over by Yeroya. And this is home until the Pesach. That's a big nafkamina. It's a major nafkamina. You bet it's a major nafkamina. Yes.
In that case, let's say, I come to you and I realize that I forgot, and I have to sell
my chametz. Yeah.
And it's
2:30
in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And I ask you, what should I do? Are you supposed to say, for the
evidence
situation, and you go out
to
sell it?
Or
you say,
that's a good question. That's a big question, what to do. Because the rich gayest was quoted as saying, that's what Bayer, it's a major quotation, because Mrs. Wanda, because only we've shown him, said that, you know, if you do this sale after this man, so the guy owns it now, from here on in. And then, but it's an Easter Hanoah. The only, see, the truth of the matter is, the only way to justify this sale, really, is to assume two things. One, there's no Bayeroa from Chatzos, because if there is, there's likely there's a knas of comments that has applied anyway. It's a big machlokas of Rishon. And two, is to assume there's no Easter Hanoah after Chatzos, which is also a big machlokas of Rishon. Shimon of Yudah, we passed it. Now, one might argue that if Shas Atzchak, a tremendous financial loss, the Klal and Poskim Kedayu Rabbi Ploni Lis Mavala Mishas Atzchak. He's a double Rabbi Ploni. One, you have to assume that there's no Bayroa till night, which is many we shouldn't learn that way. We learned it for a long time ago. Big Machlok. Two, as if no Yisra Hanah until night, which is also many Gdolish Hanah. It's not as if you're like some fly by night sheet. They're both very respectable sheet of Gdolish Rishonim. Right? The Rabbi holds both of them just like that. So you are the Raven, and then his and Visioso that hold his allies in these two various points, and that then yeah, I if I had the shot, I know what I would do. I don't know.
No,
I would be a very serious shot.
The Shulchan Aruch
doesn't say. It's hard to say. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say the fairish one, right? Fairish would also make, right? Right.
But if it's a smaller amount, I mean,
small amount, they throw it out and burn it and finish. So okay, it's hard to rely on these. It's a double machlok. It's a zekzegel lechumen effect. Anyway, Rav Osai. Yes?
You mentioned the No.
We'll get to that later. Will Kinyan Chatzar be sufficient? Probably. He is Chatzar. He took it and put it under his arm. I would say it should be good. Should be good. The Pashas. Oh, Rav Osai. A third Nafkamina. A guy had comments on Pesach. No good, Nick. And now, Pesach is over. It's over. Pesach is over. The guy walks into the house and takes the chametz. Takes it away.
Who takes what away?
Another person walks into the house, takes the chametz away. And the first one screams foul. What are you doing? Taking my chametz. Second says, your chametz? It's Hefker. It's Hefker. Who is your chametz? It's Hefker. So here we go again. According to the role of Poskim, it's Taka Hefker. The guy walks off and he walked off with it. What's the difference? I don't know. It's not so bad anyway. This chametz of a person, well, they're going to ask him to socks or sheep, or well, whatever will say. However you get out of that problem, because it's his headache. But you only can take it. Or the Mekor Chaim, you can't take it. Still belongs to the original owner, straight through Pesach. Rabosai. But it goes further than that. This issue of how you look at this Gemara, Masana, Kosta, Gila, Meshuzo, impacts on many other things. For example, what's the status of chametz shel hefker? Literally shel hefker. Literally shel hefker. What's it in? Chametz shel hefker. So we already learned a long time ago, we know that there's a Rabban about it, a Yerushalmi about it, discusses it. Well, Bnei Yeshua suggests, based on the rationale that payment makes, that the chametz shel hefker would be chayv. Five chametz in my house, and I'm after the chametz. Maybe I'm still in violations by Rabbi Yemotz. Why? I have to shelcho. You have a rashi shelchov, not a goy, and not hekdesh. That belongs to a goy or hekdesh. It belongs to another Jew, as I would thought, it belongs to another Jew. Well, maybe even if it's just totalist, it's hefker, maybe there's a possibility that you would be chayim. And a mekor chayim can't accept this little evil. Okay, tax the Pnei Yeshua. Tax the Pnei Yeshua. Okay. I'm sorry? No, that doesn't, it's all right. The Kohaim says that the Pnei Yeshua is erroneous. He made a mistake. He's wrong. Why? Why is he wrong? He says, look, what do you mean I saw that cause of Kila B'Shus? Shneidva, I made B'Shus, I saw Kila B'Shus, so... The whole verse of the Mekor Chaim is that the only way you can ever be overcome with the Pesach is if it's yours. Look, the Torah to go to the tremendous trouble of taking Yisuri HaLoa Shehefker and making them Shalom in order to be able to stick them with Barah by Yemotzeh. You Pnei Yeshua that come along and tell me, even though it's Hefker Mamish by virtue of his own self-making Hefker, it's still Barah by Yemotzeh. Can't be. Impossible. That's the Mekor Chaim Shitosim. However, as we said before, according to the conventional mainstream consensus view that I described to you earlier, it's possible. It is possible. How is it possible? We said as follows, Chametz and Pesach is always Hefker. Really? Ke'ilu b'shusa. So who cares if I make it Hefker? Big deal. I'm beating a dead dog. It's Hefker anyway. So I made it Hefker. It would have been Hefker anyway. And there's still an Afal Pik in the Torah makes you Chayv. Unless what? Shel Acherim. Acherim means a Goya Hefker. It's not Hefker. Not another Jew. This in turn, Rabbi Osai, can impact on the definition of Bittul. As Rav Soloveitchik already suggested. Bittul the machlokah, is it hefker or is it something else? So what's wrong with hefker? So here again, we could say that hefker, according to the Pnei Yeshua suggestion was, that the same shot in Rashi, don't forget. Rashi couldn't accept hefker, because hefker would be chayv by Rabbi Yemotzeh. So in other words, the original definition goes to really the roots, very fundamental. The Hayalim Bittul might depend on whether Pnei Yeshua was right or wrong, and that may depend upon the issue with the Mekor Chaim. Is the Mekor Chaim right or wrong? The Mekor Chaim is right by definition, Pnei Yeshua was wrong. If the Mekor Chaim is wrong, Pnei Yeshua might still be wrong. But he might be right. Now, what if all the consensus view would not be viable or possible or thinkable according to the opinion of the Mekor Chaim? Yes, ma'am, I'm sorry. The Rav suggested that the reason that Rashi...